Here we go. And an age-old war of not understanding. Who pays? Is it the tenant that pays? Is it the landlord that pays? Is it the strata that pays? We're going to clear some of the basics up today when you're tenanting your property, what you do and don't have to pay for. Stay tuned. Welcome to the episode of Novak coming to DY. So
Good morning.
we're just good morning, Claire. We're just off air, guys and girls, and Claire was laughing hard, a big tummy laugh because I was telling her I'm MC at a wedding on the weekend in Queensland, and a dear family friend of ours is marrying a beautiful Ugandan man and with a very large family, and I'm the MC at the wedding. So, I think you found it pretty funny, Cleo.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that live on the Novak channel. I'm coming to America vibes. I'm seeing it. I
Gonna have the big lion
can't
scar on my
wait.
shoulder.
You have to.
Okay. Wish me luck. Wish me luck.
You won't need it. You'll
Now,
be fine.
I am a little bit worried, but anyway. Claire, tell us about you wanted to talk. Why did you want to talk about this today?
I've had an issue with a rental property that I manage where, the good old flexi hose had burst upstairs and flooded the units below, including our management. And the strata acted really quickly, had the plumbing stuff fixed, and then they engaged a company to come and extract all the water and put in dryers, which, for those of you that don't know, can be a very costly exercise because they have to, it's in the 3 to 4 thousand sort of dollar mark, especially if if the unit's fully carpeted, that underlay and the concrete slab absorb a lot of water. So in order to dry those, they've got a lot of machinery and things in there that they have to do. And so they've acted on this, and the owner just got a really big bill. He didn't know much about it. He lives overseas. Turns out we had tried calling and emailing, and then he just got this huge bill and he was not happy about it, even though the unit has been fully restored. So we're kind of in this chess game of who needs to pay for this invoice, as it wasn't the owner's fault or his property that caused all the damage. So yeah,
Oof,
yay.
oof. Not to double down on this one issue, but I am keen to understand it. So, was the carpet cleaning, and was that rescue for his unit or someone else's unit?
He did all three units, that person, and the common area.
Whoa.
So I think what happened was he was there on site, and most people were like, well, he's doing all the common area. We need our unit done, our unit done, our unit done. And he's just boom, like, let's get this fixed so people, their units aren't destroyed. So it was kind of an emergency situation where it was all hands on deck. And we as a management team, this was all handled through Strata. We didn't send a work order. Normally, if we're engaging the tradesperson, we send an official work order. So we didn't send any work order. And then you can't really assume, but with some Strata plans, this is all covered through insurance. And if they're organizing it all, you say, well, this is covered under the strata insurance. That's why they're doing all of this.
Oh, and then I guess at the same time, there's a duty to minimize loss, because it could cost a hell of a lot more when you're replacing more stuff if it's wet for a long time, like cabinetry in a bathroom or cabinetry in a kitchen, and furniture, because
Yeah.
if it endures the wet in the carpet over 24 or 48 hours. So, sorry, I was going to call you Xanthony, Cleo. Cleo, tell me, where does it start and where does it stop? Like, when you're a landlord of a property, you're a tenant of a property, like, it's a minefield. Like, you don't really know what's covered, what's not covered. How do you navigate through this?
Look, experience helps, but every year, every week in property management, even though doing this a long time, I'm always throwing a curveball. I'm like, well, I've not had this before. How do I find this out? So
really,
it's so true.
Even after 15 years.
There's no black or white handbook. Anyone that's read the Residential Tenancies Act knows how ambiguous that is, and there's always a spin-off interpretation of what is or isn't legislation. So when it comes to strata, I always have said to all the juniors and people, you always need to pick up the phone, find out what's covered by the strata manager verbally and in writing, because all the strata plans have different things, fruity things like clotheslines are not included, but balconies are. Garage doors are not included, but we'll do the motor or vice versa. So every strata plan and body corporate have put into their unit blocks laws that exclude the owner for paying for things. It's not including the owner for paying things. It's to what can they exclude for the liability of the body corporate and owner's corporation to pay. So everyone knows when you own a unit, your entitlement's the internal space. You own that. And anything common area is governed by the strata and collectively all the owners. But then you've got balconies, windows, common walls, pipes that go through your apartment that are actually part of the body corporate. They're not yours, even though they're in your unit. So it gets really tricky to find out what is covered when you have a situation, especially in an emergency.
How do you know, the old adage, old saying, fake it till you make it, how do you know that the strata's not trying to, dodge the bullet?
Well, to be honest, and, it might sound unusual for me to say, strata managers are very much like us property managers. It's not in their interest to not act on something that needs to be done. It comes down to the owner's corporation within that building. So you might have five owners that are very, very hands-on in a unit block that anything that might come up, they're like, yes, let's resolve this. That tree's come down, that fence, that driveway, we want our unit to look good. And then you have maybe two owners in that building who are like, nah, I've been here for 50 years, that's fine, I'm not paying for that. And then they put the spanner in the works when a quote needs to be approved, for example. We need a new roof, is leaking, whatever it is, mold, the tenant's living there. And then you get the owners who are like, oh, no, I want three quotes. I want two quotes. And that gets dragged on. It's not the strata manager's fault. They don't want all the phone calls from us agents, the owners. Then sometimes the tenants call them. They want the job approved, just like we do, to move on and let everyone be happy. So I don't feel like it's them in particular that drags the process on. I feel that collectively, when you have a executive committee, you need to have like-minded people there that just want to get shit done. They don't want to drag it on because it doesn't serve any purpose to anyone. It's so painful.
Something that strikes me is the landlord's got representation for who pays what. That's you. The strata's, the owners of the lots have got representation on what gets paid by strata. That's the strata agent. So they're getting paid to look after and, protect those people from not paying what they don't have to pay for. But I find the tenant doesn't have any representation.
It's true. They rely on their property manager, but at the same time, the property manager's getting instructions from the owner.
And paid by the owner. So where would a tenant go to find out? Oh, okay, give me an example. What would you see that a tenant that you would see on the fence? Oh my God, is that a landlord's issue or is that a tenant's issue where a tenant has to pay? What something that comes to mind is blocking of of if a tenant blocks a toilet or
Yeah.
a sink, or what would you see where the things where tenants have to pay or don't have to pay on the borderline?
Look, anything that's caused damage as a result of negligence is something a tenant would normally pay for. So, like you said, if the toilet air freshener fell into the toilet and blocked it, or, the naughty toddler like mine chucks three rolls of toilet paper in there and blocks it all up, the first initial response would be to call the agent and we would get the plumber there. But the plumber's going to say this was the cause. And if the cause was caused by something that the tenant has contributed to, then we would invoice the tenant for a reimbursement of those funds. Now, another thing that tenants are responsible for are batteries in smoke alarms, light globes, things like that. But in the event that there is an accident, it's very hard to prove that the tenant has done something maliciously. The oven broke. How did it break? The knob's fallen off. Okay. I mean, these things happen. The gray area is that the owner claims maintenance and repairs on their tax. So, as they pay for it as an expense, they can get that money back, not so much the dollar value, but as a deduction of the property. So, the legislation supports the owner paying for most stuff. And then, in the extreme event that it's very obvious the tenant's done something, then we can make the tenant pay for it. But in all my experience, most things, even if a tenant has broken something, for example, a window, they say, "Oh, the bird flew in and cracked the window." How can you say it did or it didn't? Honestly, excuse me, the glazier will go there. Yep, it's a cracked window. How did it happen? Who knows? Who knows? Tenant could have, thrown a ball in there, a stick from outside could have come and hit it. The owner has to pay. So tenants don't
Well,
usually pay for a
yeah.
lot when
The
it comes to
garage door
maintenance.
on common property is always a bit of a classic, isn't it? Where they're like, wasn't me, it happened from the outside. And it's like, no, this happened from the inside. It's always a really hard one. But I think all in all today, what we're learning is, there is stuff that sits on the fence to ask lots of questions. I find trying to be a Google doctor to work this sort of stuff out will cost you hours and hours and hours. Pick up the phone and talk to your local real estate agent or your local strata manager, and they'll set you straight much quicker. The thing I love with tenancy is fair wear and tear. So I think anything outside of that, that's when it starts falling on the tenant, and fair wear and tear, it falls on the landlord. Very basic sentence, but it holds a lot of weight in a tribunal. Cleo, thank you.
No problem. I one takeaway note, everyone should have insurance. Landlords, tenants, insurance, the premiums are very low, covers you for a lot. Tenant stuff, if you have a flood and your computer's damaged or whatever, if you have tenant insurance and the landlord has insurance, it makes everything easier.
And a big one, I think, also, just run those scenarios in your head when you take your insurance out, i.e., a lot of landlords have building insurance, but they don't have contents insurance. So just make sure that you're sort of you're stipulating exactly the type of insurance that you're taking out when you are, and also as a tenant to have your own contents insurance in the event of water damage, for example. Sometimes you may find it hard. It may be a much easier road to take.
For sure, for sure. And yeah, that's the takeaway. I
Thanks,
can't wait to
Cleo.
see tonight after you're emceeing. Good luck.
Yep, wish me luck at the Ugandan Australian wedding, and hopefully I don't insult anyone and get bashed. But I'm
You
going to try
always
really
end
hard.
up insulting someone, Mark. It's all good.
Oh, it's come from the best intentions, though.
For sure. Big heart. You can't please everyone. All good.
All right, Claire, have a good one. Thank you. And guys, it's
You
a
too.
live show, so if you have any questions or after the show you want us to talk about something in specific, tell us. We can chat about it.
See you guys. Have
See
a
you,
good
Claire.
one.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.